In a world where so many people feel disempowered, that you realize that you don't always have to look to the external, that the answers often lie within you. We've got the most powerful technological tool at our disposal, and it lies within our skull. And it weighs 3 pounds, and it's called the brain. The brain is beautifully complex, but it is like a 2-year-old child. But if you can take this brain that is so incredibly powerful, be the leader that it needs, then you can transform your life for the better. Guys, we've got a great couple here with us today. I think I might have told you this in the past, but I always picture your faces on like a billboard in Atlanta, right? Because you guys, for me, are a really young sort of power couple. And I'm really looking forward to having this conversation today about both of their entrepreneurial journeys, how they got together, and how being entrepreneurs, how that impacts their relationship. So I'd like to welcome Sade Kelly, Handsome Kelly. How are you guys today?
Thanks for having us. We're doing great.
I'm excited for this conversation.
So why don't you guys start by telling us how you first started dating?
So we met in high school, but we started dating after high school. So really when she came back from college. One day I was scrolling Instagram, I saw her face and I hit her up, say, hey, let's hang out. We hanged out. And then from there, we started dating.
And when you guys started dating, did you know that you both had an entrepreneurial spirit that existed inside of you?
Yes. I know for sure that Handsome had one, because when I met him, that's all he talked about was motivational videos. He would tell me everything about finance, credit cards. Like, he was always into those things. And I had an interest in it, but I thought it would be something I would do way down the line.
And that's got to be a different conversation than most guys in their 20s are having at that time.
Yeah.
Right?
For sure.
And did you have the entrepreneurial spirit inside you?
Yeah, well, I had been an entrepreneur since I was like really young. I had like a business when I was like 10 years old. So I had entrepreneurial spirit inside of me. And then in college, I studied business and advertising. So I knew I would probably go into a business of my own down the line.
So when he was talking to you about all this stuff, motivational videos, being an entrepreneur, were you, did that really sort of excite you and motivate you and inspire you to then do your own thing?
Yes, it did. It definitely excited me. It always caught my interest. I mean, he wasn't the only person I was dating at the time, but he was the one who was catching my interest the most. I will say that. He definitely caught my interest with that and got me more into motivational things. And actually, I bought my first motivational book with him. We went to Barnes & Noble together.
I remember that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, those were the days.
And so what got you into entrepreneurship?
I'm rebellious, that spirit. I really don't like listening to the people telling me what to do. That aspect, along with my upbringing, my mom always taught me to pretty much just go after everything you want. Don't say no. Pretty much like just lead the way. So from that aspect of it, it just helped me to see the entrepreneur out of it.
Now, if I remember correctly, but you were in corporate America for a little bit.
Yeah, I was in corporate America for about 6 years. I thought I would still be there right now. But Handsome was always like, you don't need to work. Just quit your job. You don't need to work. Just quit your job. And I was like, no. And he was saying that since we first started dating. And when I just got into my profession, I wanted to be like the CEO of that company at that time.
And so when he was telling you that, did you think that he was crazy? Did you think that you were going to sort of take his advice and sort of go down this path? Or
I thought I would go down the path. I didn't think I would go down the path this soon. I always thought I'd probably be in my career still, probably up until like my early 30s, mid 30s. And then maybe I'd like have kids and then become a stay at home mom or like and have my own business in that aspect. But he definitely changed my mind about the whole thing, like seeing, especially he was a trader. So at first I thought I didn't really know what trading was. And I thought, it's not real. He's not really going to make money. But then eventually, as I saw him growing and making money, I was like, OK, I could be doing this for myself and I could make way more than what I was making in my job.
So what was the mindset shift that took place for you?
I think just opening up my mind to new ideas and new people. And just the idea that like, just because you were taught that you were supposed to do your life in a certain way doesn't mean you have to do it. Like we were taught, all right, you go to college. He was the first person who actually told me college is a waste of time. And we used to argue about that to like still to this day sometimes. So that was a big thing at first. And then, you know, you go to school, like I was saying, you go to school and then you get a career and then you stay in the career and then eventually you retire. And he would get pushed the idea of like, what if we retire at 29 or 30 or 22? And like, I'd never really heard of things in that manner. So it kind of pushed me to start seeing life in a different way and seeing that I could design it the way I wanted.
Now, when I hear you speak, what that brings up for me is just how powerful our thoughts are. One of the things that I tell people often is that our thoughts are so powerful that from the moment that we are born, there are people who are fighting to control our thinking. Mm-hmm. Initially, it's our parents, mm-hmm. then it, you know, maybe other family members, then it's teachers and other students. And as you sort of get older, it becomes bosses and colleagues and just society at large. Mm-hmm. And so it sounds like you really had to sort of change your thinking. And maybe he was a little bit of the driving force for that.
I was.
He contributed.
But why is it that you had just a different thought process when it came to how to live life than most people who are in high school? And
again, I really feel as if it has a lot to do with my upbringing. Like my mom is single parent household, and again, she raised all of us with the idea of you can do whatever you want and don't let anyone hold you back, as well as just think things differently and always question stuff. So that also helped with my rebellious spirit because I would always question things. And a lot of times I'll get in trouble growing up, but the idea of questioning things, it led me to the route of what if I don't have to go that route that's, the traditional route, right? Go to college, get a nice paying job and so forth. What if I do something different? And that's what got me here.
Did you get a lot of pushback from family, friends?
Absolutely. Especially like trading wise. Like when I first started off, I was terrible at it. I would lose money. So like a lot of my family, and again, like they love, it's your loved one. So they want what's best for you. However, it's their idea of what's best for you. Right. Yeah. So it's like understanding that, you know, like, that's not what you want. You want to be a trader or if you, whatever profession you choose to go with, you want to be that. They just want to make sure that you're safe and they don't see the long-term effect or the long-term route that you have to take. So yeah, it was tough at first. It was tough.
So how did you combat the messages that you were getting from them versus what you knew in your heart was going to be right for you?
I like proving people wrong. So everyone, especially those who are close to me, they'll keep saying like, you know, this is not for you, or maybe you should stop. And it's like, what if it really is for me? Right. And also I saw other people winning as well. So I'm like, these people are, they're not smarter than me, right? So if they're not smarter than me and they're figuring it out, I can figure it out myself.
Now, I would imagine early on in your relationship, she was one of the people who was kind of pushing back against this non-traditional route that you wanted to take.
At that point, I was like set in stone, which like I wasn't going to go a different route when we started dating. So she also was helpful as well. It wasn't as if she was saying like, hey, this is not working out for you as well. She was very motivated and like, you know, if this is what you want and you believe in that, then go forth with that. So it was more of like an addition rather than subtraction.
Now, you were in corporate America,
mm-hmm.
in this company that you thought you wanted to be the CEO of.
Yeah.
How was it transitioning from that sort of mindset to now leaving this company and starting your own thing?
It's so challenging because on one end, I knew what my vision for myself was. I knew I wanted to be running like a 6-figure, 7-figure company on my own. But then on the other side, it was like, but corporate seems safe. It seems like I could probably go up the ranks. It seems like it would, you know, be what I wanted to be. Like I could get everything I wanted from the company. But I think actually what I endured being in the company made me realize I don't need to be here. To be honest, it was as I progressed and got raises or I would, perform better and be in new positions, et cetera. It was just more and more challenging. And it's like, especially being a Black woman, like in those environments, I just always kind of felt like belittled in those environments in general. And then I thought about it, like if I was, and I would see Handsome every day working for himself, none of these issues, I would come home with all this drama and baggage. And he's like, oh, sorry, you have to deal with that. And I thought, you know, I could be just working for myself on my own. Like, why not just see where I could go with that? And that's why I originally started side hustling, just to kind of play around and see how that would go. And then I just opened my mind up to like, I don't have to be at this job. I can completely leave and do my own thing.
Well, that's awesome. You know, one of the things, the way that they sort of keep you in this sort of traditional track
mm-hmm.
is through the safety of making sure that you're getting a check.
Yeah.
And there is fear with potentially losing that sort of safety net, right? Mm. And I always say, look, the primary responsibility that your brain has is to keep you safe. Mm-hmm. And so it also wants to sort of mitigate the risk that you're going to take, because it's hard for the brain to predict the outcomes of that risk.
Right.
Were you prepared, and this is for both of you, were you guys prepared that if things didn't go the way that you planned in entrepreneurship, how you were going to potentially deal with that?
Well, for myself, I had a job. Like, it's not as if like I just like started in the entrepreneurial thing. And I remember one time it was like a delay with my paycheck. And that showed me that it's not like a guaranteed check. Like if it's a guaranteed check, I should have my paycheck at like 5 a.m. every single time it happens. I shouldn't have it like 5:30. That's a delay. So that's not guaranteed for me. So to really answer your question in full, it was more of the sense of, is either this is going to work, or I'm legit going to die trying to make this work. I didn't have no idea of, let me do anything else.
So you didn't have a backup plan?
My backup plan was legit figuring out how to make this work. Like, I would do Uber at that time to figure out how can I put more money in my account to make it work. So I was set in stone with going this route and not doing anything else.
I had a backup plan for sure. I am a planner. So I planned for months before I quit. Like, I told myself I would save at least 6 months worth of bills and expenses. And I hit that goal. And then I told myself, okay, I need to at least have 4 clients. And then I hit that goal. And then I was like, all right, I'm hitting all the goals and benchmarks that I'm setting. So now you have no reason not to push yourself to quit. And I actually had a really great business coach at the time who was like, you've set the goals, you've now achieved them all. Get on that Zoom call and quit, because this was during the pandemic. So that's how I had to do it. But yeah, I got on that Zoom call, I quit, but I knew, like, let me make sure I do it very nicely and keep good relationships with my coworkers just in case I need to go back. So that was kind of like my plan B, but fortunately I have not had to go back, and I don't think I ever will.
Did you guys experience any fear?
Fear of what?
Fear of failure, or maybe even fear of success.
Yeah, I agree. I had both. Like, I had a fear of just having no team. Like, I was someone, I worked on a team of like 40 people. We all had everything working really well. To go from that to just me, and I had mentors and coaches, but a team of one doing all of the things I knew I had to do to get to the type of business I wanted made me really fearful. But I had to start realizing that eventually you're going to grow, you're going to be able to hire your own team, you're going to be this boss, and you're actually going to like do it for yourself. So that's something I still work on every single day.
So when you leave this corporate job, what was that feeling like for you? Was there a sense of relief? Was there still a lot of fear? Because you said you were hitting a lot of your benchmarks, right?
Yeah, there was a mixture of both. I was really excited that day. And I remember we went out that day. Like, I was just really happy. And even my team, they did like a little Zoom party for me because they just like wanted to lend me off really nicely. But there was a mixture of fear of what was going to happen next. Like, I think I wanted that day to happen so badly that when it actually happened, I was so excited on that day. And then the next day it was like, oh wait, I don't need to wake up at 9 a.m. I don't need to check my email. I don't have to hop on a status call. It was really bizarre. For like 2 weeks, I was like in a limbo phase. And then eventually I had to find my own routine.
So you leave this job. Now you're both essentially entrepreneurs. You're doing your own thing. And how does that impact your relationship?
We had never spent this much time together in our entire lives.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? Like, we saw each other in the morning and then at night for a couple hours and then the weekend. Now we were spending all day, every day with each other. And I could really see what he was doing during the daytime.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I would add on to that, we started to become business obsessed. Like, we were in bed talking about business. We're out at a date talking about business. We were talking about business all the time. We almost forgot, like, who we were outside of being two entrepreneurs. So that's another thing, like, we had to work through.
Yeah, and that's something that we have to remember, that we're in a relationship with each other, not just a business relationship. So it was, let's put the business us on pause and go back to, like, the lover in us. Loving us.
Yeah.
Mm. That sounds right. Loving us. Yeah.
Do you guys ever do business together?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. What, yeah. What is that like?
Well, when we started, actually, our first business together was our events. Like, that was something that we started doing together, and we saw how to work with each other well. And now it's more so like we leverage each other for, like, obviously I have a marketing background, so he'll leverage me for that. And we kind of, like, yeah, that's basically how we leverage each other for, like, those type of skills, content, right, marketing. We go over our numbers within our business and within our personal life every single week. What else do we do?
I mean, that's pretty much the aspect of it. And everything else is like a number of those things.
And so how do you support her in her business? And then I'm going to ask you the same question. How do you support Handsome in his business?
Well, for starters, accountability. So, like, she's the planner. And I want to make that clear. I'm not the planner. I'm more of a spontaneous, like, in the moment, right now, go get it. And she's the one who's like, you know what, let's actually plan things correctly. So her helping me plan, that's beneficial for my business, because I obviously have an exact schedule how to go about operating things correctly. And then for her, it's more about accountability, right? Because again, she doesn't need my help with planning. It's more about, like, the execution, as well as, like, you know, let's actually do it right now. Let me hold you accountable to doing so. So if you know, it's based on, like, creating content, and she wants to do it at, like, you know, Tuesday at, like, 5 p.m., right? Did you do that Tuesday at 5 p.m. yet? You didn't do it? What are you doing right now? All right, let's get to it, because you said so. So it's like, it's a back and forth with that aspect of it.
Hey guys, thank you for listening to this episode. If you want to know the next steps that you can take, then you definitely want to check out my online course, Take Charge of Your Brand. When I think about this course and think about some of the testimonials, I think about the guy who was finally able to put out his very first music album. I think about the people that have been able to overcome health challenges as a result of being in this course, or people who are able to start their own businesses as a result of being in this course. I even think about somebody who was finally able to get pregnant, have the family of her dreams because of what she learned in this course. This course is going to be transformative for you. Here's a secret tip I have for you. Success in health, in business, and in life starts in your brain. So take charge of your brain today. I'm looking forward to seeing you there. Now back to this episode. And so are you looking at her schedule to keep her accountable to things, or?
No. I should, but I actually don't. She'll tell me some things and I'll just write it down. And a lot of times, like, I'll have to wake up and be like, do you have any calls today? Or, like, what are your plans today?
That must get annoying.
Every single morning, I'm like, we just spoke about this. It's on your calendar. What was it again?
It works though.
Yeah, I've gotten used to it. So how I support his business, right? Yeah. Well, he kind of already said it, but I help him a lot with the planning and thinking forward in terms of, like, mapping out how he's going to do it. Like, he has these great grand ideas. And I love that because it actually pushes me to, like, be more of an executor. And I'm more so like, let's take a step back and think about it before we just, like, act on this. I also help him to stay focused. He's also someone with a lot of big ideas, usually visionaries. They're like, next, I'm gonna do this next. And I'm like, okay, where are you now? How is that going? Is that where you want it to be? And then move on to the next thing. So I definitely say I help with that focus aspect too.
Do you think being entrepreneurs and being around each other all the time, has that brought you together? Has that made your relationship stronger?
Yeah, I believe it has. I think that, again, like when I spoke about earlier, when it comes to understanding, like, who we are and we even like each other, that right there alone was key, right? Because again, a lot of couples, they realize that, especially during a pandemic, they don't actually like the significant other. So we had to ask them, do we actually like each other? And yeah, I actually like her. She's pretty cool.
Yeah, I agree. I was going to say, we became really good friends, yeah. I think, through this. Like, we had actually one of our friends come over and she was like, you guys spend this day together in the same office. Your desks are right next to each other. And I'm like, yeah, we love it though. It's not like we speak all day, you right. know, he's on calls, I'm on calls. And we have, sometimes we lunch together, we'll do meetings together throughout the day, but it does sometimes feel like we have our own separate time mm-hmm. and we'll go to the gym separately or we'll hang out with friends separately. We make sure to divide our time against each other, right. but yeah, it definitely has brought us closer.
One of the things I've always appreciated are couples that can work together. Mm-hmm. Because as somebody who's had to spend sometimes 100 hours a week working in an office or working in a hospital, I never understood how you can spend so much time away from your partner and then come home at the end of the day when you have nothing else to give and try to build a relationship in life with them. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that is a problem that plagues a lot of society, whether you're spending 40, 50, 60, 70 hours away from your partner. Do you guys ever feel like you're spend way too much time together?
That's a great question. I don't think so. And I think I'm speaking for both of us, but it looks like her face is if I'm not. So I guess I'm speaking for myself. I don't think that we spend too much time together. I think that there are aspects, as you say, in which like we do separate when it's like, I'm going to the gym, she's going to the gym, we're hanging out with friends. I think that's actually needed. At the end of the day, it's like, I don't want to spend as much time with anyone. It doesn't matter who the person is. So it's like from that aspect, it's like, you know, let me just have my alone time. Yeah. So I think the reason why couples, they don't do that is because they don't understand how to have alone time with each other or like alone time with themselves. And I think that's actually needed. So if you're better at spending your alone time with yourself rather than with something other, that would make the relationship last longer. And then another thing to help out as well is that, again, like you guys understand like the corporate background of it. I don't. So I think that for me, if I was in that type of corporate job in which I'm, you know, away from home, like, you know, majority of the week, it'll be more difficult for our relationship to actually work out because I have the stress of my corporate job as well as the commute and everything coming back. And now I have to be, you know, a husband, you know, a father, regardless of what the person is when they come home. So from that frame looking in, the relationship 1000% would not be the same.
I agree. You asked if we spend too much time.
Do you ever feel like you spend too much time?
Sometimes, yes, to be completely honest. I sometimes
this is coming from someone who's like always wants to be around me.
I love spending time with my husband, but I do feel like sometimes I just want to be alone. We were born and raised in New York. We were at a place where we had our own lives, right? And we moved to a state where he has family. I have no family. Mm-hmm. I don't know many people there. I had to like rebuild a community. So I felt like my whole community was him at a point. And then I had to like really push myself to find my own community, find people and, you know, get closer even to his family that was there. And as I've navigated through that, now I feel like we've gotten a good balance where I'm like, oh, I can go out and like figure out where I want to go. And so even as small as I never really drove until we moved to Georgia. So you imagine I'm like late 20s, moving to a new state, have a car for the first time. I'm like, what the heck do I do with this? Where do I go in this new place? So that was a big adjustment for me. But like 2 years we've been living there. Now I feel like we've found our groove.
And so how do you prioritize your self-care?
Ooh, I'm very big on self-care. I block it out on my calendar. So
it's like a no hand sometimes.
Yeah. Sometimes it's funny because sometimes he's like, do you want to do this? Or you want to come to the gym with me? I'm like, no. And he's like, why not? I'm like, because I want to go alone.
let's come back with this, right? Because like the narrative that's being pointed, like that's my place.
Well, I think we both really are intentional about self-care. He's more of the person who will say like, I need time alone. And I respect that. I might not say that in those words. I'm more so just, I'm going to go do this. But it's really because like, I want to go spend some time alone.
I'm a very direct person. I get that from like my upbringing. And sometimes it's beneficial, but sometimes it's like, you could have said it like, you know, in a nicer way. And I'm getting better with saying things in a nicer way when it comes to being like so direct. Like, again, as she said, I would be like, I don't want to be with you right now. I want to have my alone time.
Can you imagine someone saying that to you?
It may come off wrong, but it's like, that's how I feel. So yeah, she says it differently. She's like, I kind of want to do this right now. And I'm like, peace out. Like, so yeah.
It just came to mind. So I've been sort of referring to you guys as entrepreneurs. You're a married couple. And you guys are much more like lovepreneurs. Have you ever heard that term before?
You should coin that.
I can't coin that. I know somebody who owns the business.
I've never heard of that. Yeah. What does that mean?
It's a couple where both are entrepreneurs.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, that's kind of like straightforward. I thought it was like some deeper meaning.
Yeah.
No. Okay. I like that. So you guys are like lovepreneurs.
Nice.
Lovepreneurs.
Yeah.
So what advice would you give to other lovepreneurs about working with their spouse?
I think that you should have space. 100%. Also, like, have a set routine for yourself, as well as like when to work with the actual business and when to work with the actual relationship. Like, once you have that set and then like you can differentiate the two, things be a lot more smoother.
So that raises a question for me. Is there a time when you say, okay, work is done and this is now personal and relationship time?
Yeah.
Or is there a mind shift that takes place?
I think it's both. It also depends on what you do for work, right? So like me, I'm a day trader. So like it's certain time frames in which I just don't want to trade the markets. And it just so happens that that's also like when she wants to have, you know, a couple of time. So yeah, it just like evens out that way.
Yeah, but I've seen that on your social media. There are times where in 15 minutes you've made your goal for the day and you're kind of done for the day.
Yeah, but she's not.
Right. Yeah, that's when it can get challenging, because he could be done like by 10 in the morning and I'm in my second meeting of the day and I'm going on probably all day because I'm a coach. So I may be taking calls all day, but I do make sure to take a break and spend some time in the middle of the day. But our time is usually at night. That's usually when he's done with his calls and he knows when once I'm on the couch and I'm probably watching a show or doing something in the kitchen, it's like time for you to come in here too. It's kind of like an unwritten rule that we do that.
Yeah, it is. It's funny because one of my calls previously, she started playing a TV show that we both watch. And she did that because like, that's like, come on, can you come spend some time with me? It was like an indirect way of her saying that.
Yeah.
Any other tips or pieces of advice that you would give to other couples?
You want to go first or you want to take this?
Sure. I was going to suggest communicating. Like, obviously, I mean, I feel like that's one of those generic answers, but it's really important to clearly communicate and also make sure that your partner is comprehending. Right. So actually understanding and listening to what you're saying. I would say that's the biggest thing, because especially if you're a solopreneur at first, you may just feel like you're alone, but your partner is an entrepreneur as well. So don't forget to lean on them, clearly communicate like what you're going through, because they might have gone through it, especially if they have more years in there than you. They may have ideas. Like, we bounce off, even though our industries are different, they're similar in a sense where we can bounce off ideas. We can help each other shoot. We can come up with new things we could be doing, you know? So communication is really important too.
And I think that to add to that, I think you have to accept being vulnerable to your partner. And with the vulnerability, I mean, like, literally opening up, right? There's, especially as men, you know, we want to, you know, be the strong person, be able to take on anything. But at some time, you have to be vulnerable and like, you know, I actually need your help or I need your advice, you know, for what I'm dealing with. And then second to add to that, I think that you also have to see if you even like the individual, right? And not just like the individual, but don't stop doing things to like the individual. Yeah. Right. Because like you hear it all the time, like, you know, like someone's been married for like 20 years or 40 years. And it's like, you know, they're kind of bored with the person. For us, like, I look at her as not the same person who I met when she was 22, nor 25. And even where she is now, like, she's continuously growing. I'm growing as well. So it's like understand and figure out, like, who is this new person? You know, who is my new version of my wife? Or who is she now? Like, what can I do to appreciate her more? What can I do to learn more about her now? Because a lot of things that she may like now, she may have not liked before, and then vice versa. Well, not vice versa, but
yeah
it is vice versa.
I was gonna add on to that. Make sure you have fun. Like, that's kind of what I was hearing a little bit that you were getting to. Like, you have to have fun and be intentional about your hobbies, things you like to do together. Like, we really like to travel, so we're very intentional about that, making sure we're unplugged, going on vacation, really enjoying our time together. But also, we want to make sure we're going on dates and we're actually trying new things together that aren't just, you know, business related.
Right.
Do you give your partner credit for your successes?
I do.
Yeah.
Well, we both do. Not even I do. Yeah.
Yeah, we do.
It goes hand in hand. Like, I know where I'm at, and I wouldn't be where I'm at if she wasn't, you know, right there by my side, and vice versa.
Yeah. I couldn't imagine my life without him.
I feel like so much about business is about a lot of personal development, professional development, mm-hmm. just growing and investing in yourself. Do you guys go to the same conferences, read the same books, listen to the same motivational speakers?
To an extent, with the motivational speakers aspect, there's some speakers who I love and I listen to them all the time, in which she may not be too fond of them. Book wise, yeah, we read a lot of similar books. A lot of my motivational books deals with what I'm personally going through. Actually, both of us deal with what we're personally going through. And then everything else, yeah, conferences as well. And then some conferences she goes to is like more women based. And I'm not really a fan of that.
So yes, we do. We do read some similar books. We'll talk about speakers. If I watch a video and I'm like, this is something you need, and he same does for me. If he watches something and reminds him of him, he sends it to me. We're very big on, we both want to be growing individually, but then growing together as well.
Yeah, I think that's the issue, right? Like, you have to grow individually, not just together as a couple, because yeah, you're a couple, but you got to make sure individually you guys are both growing. That way, like, it will never be in which like one person is up here growing, the other person is like just dragging them down. Technically, right? You guys still together, but it's like, what's that saying? It's like you're in an elevator, right? The elevator, you're going to the top floor. Some of your friends should get off the third floor, but you keep them on as the elevator starts rising. You know, the elevator starts slowing up, and you realize once those friends get off, who should have got off at the lower floor, it starts to speed back up. So you don't want to have a relationship in which you're both growing age wise, but you're both not growing mentally wise.
So if you guys are both kind of growing together, do you have any plans to work more in the future, to throw other events?
Something we came to my mind the other day about the event. So we'd like to bring that back, just trying to figure out how we would go about doing that, and if so, when. Because the way our life is structured now and the way it's going, it's going to be a little difficult to go back into that. Eventually, we want to, but just going to be a little difficult. My idea of success is starting to like really change. I'm becoming more of a, ironic this is, more of a private person, which is kind of strange because I'm still more looking to impact and spread out. So my way of going about doing that, it's just a little tricky how to go about it. But yeah, obviously we're going to do events. It just has to be, it has to make sense.
Yeah, I think we'll continue to grow and help each other out. Also, I'm learning day trading, which I would have never thought I would learn. But now seeing his successes and hearing more about him, like, this is something I also could do on the side and something I could learn. So now we're starting to kind of overlap on each other's skills and each other's businesses.
Well, if you guys start doing events, you definitely have to let me know.
Of course.
Let the audience know. Just,
yeah. We should all just do a conference, you know?
We should all do a conference.
Yeah, might as well, yeah.
So where can people learn more about you guys individually or as a couple?
Well, individually, handsomekelly.com. That's my website. Social media, all my handles are handsomekelly_. And
my website is thefireinsidesade.com. And then on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, everything, I'm Sade_.
Well, guys, thank you so much for being here. I think a lot of couples are going to listen to this and they're going to benefit from hearing about your story. So thank you. And you guys have been watching another episode of Surviving Your Brain. We look forward to seeing you next time.